fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
This is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news in the studio with Dan Dugan.
The other guy on the other side of the news in this Green Renaissance of this great radio, community radio station.
94.1 and... we have the man that brings you the bumps and other things in between segments and fills in general. We have Tim
like
Chavez
potholes
in the studio, the volunteer. What's the official title?
My official title is I'm a scheduler for WGRN.
The scheduler. Right. And originally you were going to schedule Ruben Herrera for us, but he's quite busy, as I understand it.
Yes, Ruben Castilla Herrera is a is very active in the Central Ohio Workers Center, and actually the founder, and also currently working with the Columbus Sanctuary Collective, whom he was invited to come and talk to us about the sanctuary movement that's occurring right here in Columbus. So far as I know, there's two churches that have taken up. Two families in Columbus.
All right. So explain the sanctuary movement to our listeners.
Well, it's I've always known about it. I've heard about it everywhere across the world in the last 40 or 50 years. But this time, this is my first experience. And what it is that in about 8 months ago, I was contacted by Ruben about bringing a family into sanctuary at the Mennonite Church, which is located here in Clintonville. And from that, during that time, helping him move a few pieces of furniture into the church, into this small room, maybe a 12 by, at the most, 15 size room, where this woman, who's a mother of three children, I believe, and has a husband, has moved into the church because she was basically ankle monitored and was told to that they were going to send her back to Mexico. I believe that's where her country of origin is. So she went into sanctuary and she's been there for 8 months. It was well between that time that she went into sanctuary and now is that I've always asked Ruben, how can I help? And basically, he's invited me to come to certain events. And one event was during Mother's Day. It was called the Tres Madres, which is the Three Mothers event. And it was celebrating Mother's Day. And they had three women there that have suffered from the loss of their children in one way or another. And one was Edith Espinal Moreno, who's the woman that's in sanctuary at the church. She has two children, her two children are naturalized here because they were born here. And her oldest son actually made an application for her to stay in the United States because he wanted to have his mother with her, with the family, and it was denied. So they were actually going to put her back on a plane, or they're going to put her on a bus going back home or going back to the country of origin because this is her home. She's really, in my opinion, she's a naturalized, she's an undocumented American, not an undocumented alien. So there was also Jacqueline Kifuku, who is from Uganda. She is a mother of two. One she was carrying with her. She was with child with one, and then she had her son, who at that time I believe was about 3 years old. And she was an activist for LGBT rights in Uganda, where she was attacked and separated and lost her son. That time being pregnant, she took sanctuary in the United States, and she actually got accepted in 2017. I don't know what the rest of her documentation, how that's going to go, but so far she is safe in the United States. basically probably registered under the under ICE or the immigration. And the third woman is right here in our hometown, and her name is Adrienne Hood, and she's the mother of Henry Green. Of course, she lost her son, who was 23 years old, in 2016. No indictments of the officers that killed him. He was actually had a, first off, this is an open carry state, so apparently didn't apply for him in his neighborhood, but also he had a concealed weapon permit. And basically, any police officer knows that. I know that people that have been stopped with permits as such, they immediately know that they have a gun in the car because it comes up on their license plate read. But she lost her son, which is a lot different. That's permanent. And what she's doing is she's struggling to unite with herself and her family and her friends and her community in her struggle to comprehend such a loss. All three women are separated in one way or another from their children, one by distance, one by death, and one just by documentation, I guess you could say. So with that, with working with Ruben on that, he also invited me to, which was just recently, which is close to about a month ago, where all the interfaith churches, they all got together, and they gave a workshop, and they had discussion and direction on how to bring someone into your church for sanctuary. And it's really sort of complicated. It goes all the way down to notifying the police. I mean, they're open about it. Nothing's being hidden about it. When they bring them into the church, I mean, they're there, and everybody knows they're there. They also notify the authorities that want to deport them. And at the same time, they have got to get past zoning to let somebody live there, too. So, you know, there's variances, there's everything. So it's a struggle,
and,
you know.
Tim, This sanctuary, this goes back all the way right to the medieval and even previous to that, times when you could seek sanctuary in a church, right? Which,
correct.
You know, the great novel, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, was much about that. But, yeah, so this is, and it has always been a part of the United of our history here in the United States, or... Do you know, Dan? I don't know. Do you have any idea what the history is?
No, we really haven't.
The sanctuary movement.
Historically, we haven't recognized sanctuary. It's by tradition. And
okay.
There was a woman who resigned, elderly lady, who was a member of the Spanish nobility, and her family actually had the right to ride their horses into the sanctuary, which meant essentially it was a violation of the sacred nature of the church. That's why in the church they called the sanctuary precisely that, the sanctuary. In the U.S., it really gained some prominence in the 1980s with the civil wars in Central America.
Right.
A lot of the Jesuit and Maronite nuns moved people into their churches in the U.S., because they had been tortured or were under death threats from the fascist governments like the Arena Party in El Salvador.
Legitimate asylum seekers.
Yes.
Should be, yeah.
Yes, and I do get, and that's about as much as I do know from what I've read from the wars in Central America, is that there was a sanctuary movement among the church there. And that is the Catholic Church, who was scolded by the Pope at one time, I believe an archbishop, or was it Daniel Ortega? Somebody was scolded by the Pope for something.
It
was a priest. It was a priest, because what was the name of that, the doctrine that they, social doctrine, it had a name.
Liberation theology.
Liberation theology.
Which is thought to be, wherever you refer to Marx, you put in Jesus.
but
they essentially argued that Christ stood with the poor and the oppressed.
Interpretation right now, as far as like sanctuary, is that it's a nonviolent act to start with. It's a confrontation, And as far as nonviolence and sanctuary, it's not a passive act. Nonviolence and sanctuary is an aggressive confrontation to ignorance and anger. Nonviolence and sanctuary sends a message of love against hate, and the only dialogue is to speak a reunification rather than a separation. So through that experience that I saw there was probably one of the most heart-wrenching things I saw was I was helping another person who's helping a woman going to the church here in Old Town East. And I went to her apartment where she has her her husband with her and her two daughters. One was 6 years old. The other one was about 10. And the kids are there watching TV in their house and everything. It's really, really sad to see this type of situation is that they're watching TV in their home. They're real quiet. The family's as upbeat as they possibly can. You know, belongings being sold, belongings being given away, wondering where to store things, what to bring, what to take. And you know that the children don't know about it yet, because I think you'd see a lot more anguish on in their character. And what's disrupted there is the woman had a job, they were supporting their families, the man had a job, they obviously had to pay the for the apartment, which was a nice apartment on the west side in an apartment complex where you see other families walking around with their kids and all that. And it's just like really unbelievable, the disruption. I mean, it's not just to the family, it's the emotion of the kids, it's the emotion of the parents, it's also the
the entire community.
The community and the economy and everything. I mean, here they are moving, the husband's trying to think of because he's not in sanctuary. And, he's trying to contemplate where he's going to live or if he's going to stay with her. And then I was thinking about the kids, because the kids are Americans and, you know, they're changing schools. And at the same time is that they're in a new neighborhood. They're probably new friends, obviously, you know. So it just shows how evil and bad this type of policy. And it's a policy. Yeah. It's not a law.
Right.
To separate families. I was asking him and I was asking others, never got an answer, but says, what's going to happen to the girls? I mean, what about the girls? Okay, so what does ICE say about the girls? What does ICE want them to do with the girls? Because they're her children. And there's just really no discussion about her children. They know she has children. They know they're Americans. Right. All they want to do is get her out.
Right. So, and right now, they don't even know which children, some cases, to connect with parents that are remaining.
That have already been separated.
Already been separated, yeah.
So I guess what I'm to lead up to it is that really all they wanted her to do is to use the ticket that they made her buy to go back to wherever she's from and meet them at the airport so they can shove her into it. So that's what ICE does. And there's no heart in it at all, and no contemplation as far as how that's going to affect anybody's future. So these people are going to announce soon. ICE knows she is in sanctuary, but the public doesn't know, and we're waiting for others to announce it publicly to let them know that another church here in Columbus has put a family in sanctuary. So I think that makes three for the state, two for Columbus, one for Cleveland.
Yeah, and that's right. Tim Chavez here on The Other Side of the News with Dr. Bob Petrakis. I'm Dan Dugan. We're at 94.1 on the radio dial or digits. At any rate, we're discussing the current situation with immigrants and how it's here locally. There are churches that are providing sanctuary for immigrants, and Tim has had some firsthand.
I think it's going to continue. I think it's going to build up.
Yeah.
Dan, I definitely think it's going to be built up. It's like another underground railroad.
Yeah, right.
It's for a different and similar type of experience because it comes down to freedom. And which is like, you know, we have stand your ground for people, you know, to carry a gun. If someone scares you, you can shoot them. I really believe in stand your ground, but I have a different concept of it. I like stand your ground. If you come to the United States, you have rights as a people. I don't understand what it's all about is that only Americans have rights. So does that mean we can go to any other country in the world and we have the rights to take over their country? It's sort of beginning to appear like that, and I think that's got to change as far as the attitude of American people.
Right.
Is that if you're going to stand, if people come over here to the United States, you got to respect their rights. Right. And if we go visit somebody in another country.
The Bill of Rights is for all of us, everyone in this country, whether you're a citizen or not.
Right. So if you go to another country, you have to respect their rights.
Exactly.
You know, it's the same thing. So we're not the only ones that have rights.
WGRN 94.1. And, of course, this whole concept, the great oddity of going after immigrants in a land of immigrants, one in which committed near complete genocide on the indigenous population, and that same country which stole the northern half of Mexico. We call it the Southwest United States in general, but it's the stolen northern half of Mexico, taking in an illegal war. One in which the people in Texas wanted to make that state safe for slavery. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of these grops coming in are coming in from countries the United States completely destabilized by backing fascist dictators back in the 70s
and 80s. Those banana republics, as they call them.
Yeah, and dictators countries where we've overthrown their elected government, be it Guatemala in 54 with the Arbenz government, or be it Honduras in 2009, or El Salvador in a bloody decade-long civil war that killed 75,000 people. They're fleeing from countries that the U.S. armed to the teeth and then abandoned for Cold War purposes.
And they took over all their resources, too, with U.S. corporations. And
well, that's why they called it the United Fruit Coup in 1954.
Mm-hmm.
United Fruit went to the White House and said, hi, these people want some of their land back to eat food. And instead, we overthrew their democratically elected government.
Yeah, and to this day, we still train their soldiers, their intelligence at the School of the Americas.
Yeah, here in the U.S.
Also known as the School of the Assassins.
Absolutely.
Some of the best training in assassination and in counterinsurgency. And also drug running, because you're going to need some extra money if you're a U.S.
That's right.
You
got to fund it. Yeah.
And you got to keep it quiet.
Absolutely.
Which everybody knows about, but so it's not really quiet.
Yeah, there's only so many billions you can get through the...
It's tough to be a journalist reporting on it, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Well, it's tough to be a journalist in general these days. There was the shooting and killing today of five journalists in Maryland with the Capital Gazette.
And it comes on the heels of Trump with another one of his genius tweets where he's calling the press the enemy of the people.
People.
Yeah.
And has alt-right figures saying, I can't wait to the vigilantes go out there and start settling the scores.
And that wasn't said to be sarcastic or even for humor. And then this happens. So, yeah, it's trying times, for sure.
Well, it's necessary to give the administration and anybody that follows them some blowback. We need to fight back, as the show says.
Yeah.
And we have great tools here at WGRN 94.1, and we can be able to put out that message as much as we possibly can. But I ask all the listeners to actually investigate the sanctuary movement that's happening here in Columbus and across the state and across the nation, and if you can, support them any way that you possibly can. But I think you're going to start seeing people taking them at homes and everything. It's amazing. There's going to be safe houses and all that. Because it's just getting crazy. I see on my Facebook page all of a sudden an alert, hey, West Side up by Interstate 70 and Broad Street, ICE is out, checkpoint. Which I don't understand because I thought ICE could only have a checkpoint 100 miles from the border. And are we 100 miles from the border of Canada?
Well,
I think we're
a little more than that.
We're more than that. So, you know, and I think you can actually stop them from searching your car or asking for your identification if they do stop you. because they're out of their range. But, you know, that could easily be changed with a, you know, an executive order just making the whole country a spot where they can put roadblocks anywhere. And a lot of states are anxious to do that, and they'd entertain to have their state police do it, just like our Governor Kasich sent out a bunch of troopers to Standing Rock to get a lot of overtime and to beat up on the First Nation peoples in North Dakota.
Yeah, and meanwhile, people have been convinced that it's the immigrants' fault, and minorities and
well, totally manufactured liberals, crisis, right?
Taking away their freedom.
And you can see it goes well with the Muslim ban, this fear of Muslims coming to the country,
right.
Fear of Mexicans.
And that was upheld, yeah.
The Supreme Court upheld that 5-4. Five
magic number.
Five Soon justices, totally unelected. Overturning precedent. And
that could soon be 6-3, right?
It could be.
Well, that was a stolen, we lost a seat there that was stolen from us, that was delayed and never brought up to hearings or a vote for the Supreme Court that was chosen by Barack Obama.
Absolutely. And he chose a moderate, too. It wasn't as if he went out of his way to pick someone, an ideologue, which are the types that Trump will definitely be lining up. So.
Well, reactionary forces always have the same playbook, right? You go after the unions because they also overturn the union dues that used to be paid under fair share. Yeah. Now you can be in a union, receive all its benefits, but not pay them a dime. Greatly going to affect the teachers and the public employees' unions. So you're going after the unions. You're going after democracy. You're doing the mass purging of voters. You're saying that gerrymandering is okay, and you're doing this manufactured crisis on the borders against illegal. That reminds me a lot of the manufactured Jewish crisis in the rise of Nazi Germany.
Right. There you go. You know, there's some talk that the Democratic Party may be forced to cut a deal with Trump to let him have his wall. What's your take on that?
Well, my take on that is that a tremendous waste of resources, tunnels and ladders. They were able to circumvent the Great Wall of China when it was at its height, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. They're going to get around the wall.
Right.
Tremendous, it's symbolic. Here's my thought. When people are crypto-fascists, when they're thugs and liars, you don't cut deals with them. You resist them immediately as strongly and as loudly as you can, because he perceives any concession as weakness.
Yeah.
Right. I think we saw those results in with a Democratic Socialist got elected in New York.
In part running on abolishing ICE.
Abolishing ICE.
Right.
Healthcare for all, Medicare for all, basically.
Right. There you go. That's a small sign.
And her candidate that was an incumbent for 10 elections, which is 20 years, and I don't even know his name, but it turned out that he was actually going to be the next dude
being groomed
for Speaker of the House.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As they anticipate
on
winning the elections.
Going to be a nice moderate Democrat, not attack ICE. Not fight real hard, just kind of compromise to the middle, and he loses to an activist, a Democratic Socialist candidate.
A young activist. And
28 that's, years old?
Yeah, about that.
And that's what I think that
Not
should
even
be
30.
A shot over the bow, is that if the Democrats don't start opening their eyes and wake up to what's really happening among the people of the United States, is that they will lose. So they have to start really rethinking or putting new people to come up as our candidates for Congress and the Senate.
Absolutely, yeah. The the battle is on, and it really is time to choose sides. And the
clock is ticking.
Being the nice guy that will compromise is apparently not going to help, because this administration will stop at nothing, obviously. Bob and I were talking about the Supreme Court, the nominee, and I think you said he doesn't need to be a lawyer or...
No, the Constitution does not require you to be a lawyer to be appointed
to be a judge.
Article 3, the judiciary article, to the Supreme Court. The interesting thing about Trump, which both of you know, is that he's got a list of 25 incredibly far right-wing, relatively all young judges, late 30s, early 40s, that he wants to put in. And the thing about Trump is that Trump is really the most jaded, you know, lying man
right.
imaginable.
Right.
When he was in New
For
York,
sure.
he was, you know, pro-choice, liberal on the gay issues. So he spent his whole life in New York hanging around with the, you know, mass media and celebrities, and then he takes over the Republican Party, and he completely switches his position on the abortion issue, the right to choose, on gay rights. So now he's complete reactionary.
Right.
He's the most opportunistic, unprincipled man probably in the history of politics. You know, Mussolini meant what he said. Hitler meant what he said.
Trump
is just a lying egomaniac
right.
with no conscience.
Right.
Not any
it's all ego.
Principle
yeah.
other than, you're right, his own ego.
Yeah, it's just all ego.
You know, it's so he's completely switched his position. He's got a list of these 25, you know, essentially appellate judges that he wants to appoint. And he realizes that this really excites his base. And the interesting thing about his base, all the studies show, they're usually the most ignorant people in the society. They know the least about politics, and they like it because Trump,
right.
you know, he thinks like me. I thunk it first, and then Trump said it. The fact that Trump has completely reversed every single value he ever had somehow eludes him, because that would require research.
Well, we're hitting the two-minute warning, and our producer, Suzanne Patzer, Bob's better half, has handed me some information that tells us there's a rally on Saturday with the Columbus Families Belong Together rally. Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Ohio State House. I'm sure you all know where that is.
10 a.m. is easy. You could sleep in a little bit.
There you
Definitely
go. Definitely
get
down
right.
there. So if you believe in this, show up. And speak
bring
up.
Some pots and pans. Let's let some people know that we're out there. You know, you hear about what happened of some marches in Latin America. That's what they do.
Show up, stand up for your rights. This is Dr. Bob Fitregas. Thanks a lot, Tim Chavez, for filling in for Ruben and your work in the sanctuary movement.
Thank you. Great to be here.
See you now.
All right. Bye. Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitregas.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.